remember him in your prayers. Book of Ezekiel, in chapter 9. Continuing to work our way down through this 9th chapter. Verse 1 said, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, and we spent at least one message on that, the fact that he cried in his ear and cried with a loud voice. He wanted him to hear what he had to say, and he, because it was something important, very important. Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. There are those who are given charge over, in this case, the city Jerusalem, the land of Judah. But there are those angels who are given charge over people. His saints, we know that his angels watch over us. They serve as our protectors, our keepers. In this case, these men, and they were men, it calls them men, in verse 2, were evidently had the charge, they'd been given the charge to go and destroy the city. And he says, call them with their destroying weapon. Cause them to come with their destroying weapon in their hand. And we spent time on, and behold, six men came. And the fact that they were men and not angels, as some try to make them to be, the wording, and not only in our English, but in the Hebrew, definitely denotes that they were men. And there were six of them. They were representative of the Chaldean army. And we looked at the six princes of the Chaldean army that were came to Jerusalem. We see where they came from, the north. Babylon lie to the northeast of Jerusalem. They came to the gate, to the brazen altar. The altar that had been desecrated by the children of Israel, the altar that had been desecrated by the priests of Israel. And how had it been desecrated? It had been desecrated by, instead of offering offerings on there up to God, they offered offerings up there to idols, to everything that God had created, whatever your eye could see that God had created, they were worshiping. As was noted in our study of the 8th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. But tonight we come to a point yet in verse 2. And there's a seventh man that he sees. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them Six plus one. And this one was among them, in the midst of them, clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. I've titled this point, and this is all under the appearance, point number two, the appearances that we see here in the vision that Ezekiel sees. Mercy precedes judgment. This one man with the writer's inkhorn represents the mercy of God. And as you're going to see as we go through this chapter, he precedes the destroyers in his going through and marking those to be saved. Well, I've told you already what his job is. But this one was clothed with linen. Linen with a writer's inkhorn by his side. As we say linen, and I try to emphasize that and pause there, what did you think about? What did you think about? You see, the one clothed in linen, and its Scripture takes specific note to mention him, that he was clothed in linen. Did it tell us anything about the garb of the other six? Other than they had a destroying weapon in their hand? But this one who's set apart from the other six, they want us to know, notice something about him. This linen was the garment of the high priest. In fact, the high priest was all his clothing that I can find mentioned was to be of linen. Fine linen. And especially the high priest and his sons, Aaron and his sons, they would succeed Aaron upon his death into the office of high priest on the Day of Atonement. That it wasn't just the Day of Atonement, but it was all of their service. This was their garb that they were to put on. Let's look at that. And we may, after we go through a few points, we may pause there and look at the high priest garb for a week or two, just see how the Lord leads on it. It was a thought I had towards the end of the day at the end of my studies. But in the book of Exodus, in chapter 28, verse 1 of this 28th chapter, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt make holy garments. Now drop down with me to verse 39 to save us having to read the whole chapter for time's sake. Verse 39 says, "And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework of fine linen, but with needlework. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him." You see, I can't find any of their clothing. I mean, right down to their underclothes. It was to be made of linen. Fine linen. Turn with me over to Leviticus. The book of Leviticus in chapter 16. And I just picked out a few passages here. There's a lot of passages we could read in this the priest garb and concerning the fine linen here. But in the 16th chapter, and look at, let's begin with verse 1 here also. "And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat." In other words, he wanted to come at all times. There was one specific day that he was to go into the holy place. "Then shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on." You see, even going into the holy place, he was to make sure he had these holy garments on, these fine linen garments on. And here, it lets us know that that girdle back there of needlework was linen also. Wasn't some other material. Because it was needlework, it was still linen, but it was to be done with needlework. Now let us drop down to verse 23. No, I want to go back up here. Let's begin with verse 20. "And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments, which he put on. You see, he had them on. The first part of the chapter, he had them on, and he sanctified the holy place and all that in the tabernacle of congregation, and it got that all sanctified, cleansed, set apart for the Day of Atonement. And he shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall be burnt upon the altar. You see, this was on the Day of Atonement. He had to have those holy garments on. Even he, after sanctifying the place and making it holy for the Lord, then he was to shed those linen garments, wash himself, and then he was put on new linen garments, fresh linen garments. You see, because those might have been tainted from anything that he was sanctifying the holy place and the tabernacle congregation from. Now notice with me in verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest, whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle or the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priest and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. So the garb of the high priest and his sons was linen garments, fine linen garments. So this man that we have here in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 2, this one clothed in linen with the rider's ink cord is representative of the high priest. With a rider's ink cord by his side. He had this rider's ink cord so that he might mark, you were going to find out, those ones in the forehead that were marked for salvation. Marked for salvation. They were not to be destroyed by the destroyers. They had the mark in their forehead. They would not be destroyed. How many of you here know what a rider's ink horn is? That's foreign to our day and time, isn't it? Yeah. Well, in studying it out and researching it, I found it was something that they wore around the waist and was attached here, and it contained a little vial of ink, and their, we call it a pen, what they wrote with, that kind of thing. And so they could, and it was generally made of leather, that inkhorn, and sat in there, and they dip it in there, and they could write, or they could mark, and so forth. It would have been typical, I suppose, of a scribe to have it, one who was responsible for recording things, writing things, and so forth. This man, we said, represented the high priest. It's a picture of Christ. Christ as mediator, saving those that are his, going between. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, we're told that Joseph and Mary were commanded to name this child that the Virgin Mary was going to bear, Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. In the book of John, in chapter 1 and verse 29, John testifies, he said, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In the book of Luke, in chapter 19 and verse 10, we read, then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. Why did Pilate, from then on, seek to release him? Because he could find no fault in him. He could find no sin in him. Fine linen was his purity. Speaks of purity. Fine linen is spoken of as Jesus Christ, pure. The pure Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, as John testified. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, it says that his bride hath made herself ready, and she's clothed in white, and white linen. And what is the white linen there? It says, which is the righteousness of the saints. Well, what is the righteousness of the saints? It's the righteousness of God that we're clothed in. So it's not anything that we've done. It's His righteousness, you see, that we're clothed in. Points to Jesus Christ. So, Peter and John, after healing the lame man, the beggar, one who was begging money, alms of them, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what we have, that we give unto you." And they said, "In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." Got the people all in an uproar. Got them all disturbed. Called before the magistrates. Magistrates, of course, we know, proceeded to command them after releasing them from prison not to speak in this man's name any longer. But they said in verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You see, all men everywhere must be saved. And if there's going to be salvation, it's in the name of Jesus Christ that there will be salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this is a verse when I'm thinking about it, I always want to go to the 15th verse, and I look at the 15th verse when arriving there, and I said, "Well, that's strange. That's not what I want." But verse 5 is what I want. 1 Timothy 2:5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." You see, the high priest in the Old Testament, what was he? He was a go-between. He was a mediator between the people of Israel and God. He had to do it God's way. Well, Jesus Christ had to do it, but he was the perfect. You see, he was the perfect high priest. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He had no sin. He had no impurity. The fine linen represents purity. He was pure. He is our high priest. Oh, well, let's go to the book of Hebrews. He's our high priest. And in reading these in Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to look at several of these in Hebrews. Blessed. See the work of his work as high priest on our part. In verse 3, chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Verse 17 of chapter 2, he said, "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest." You see, he's a merciful and faithful high priest. In all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, to make atonement. That was the job of the high priest, to make atonement for the sins of the people. And the high priest in the Old Testament, he had to do it first for himself and then for the sins of the people. Jesus Christ didn't have to do it for himself because he was perfect. Lamb of God. And he made atonement for my sins. For your sins, if you're in Him. Chapter 4.
Chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession of faith. Listen, Jesus, the Son of God, is alive. He's passed into the heavens. So let us hold fast that profession of faith that we have. Did I read verse 15? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's important. That's important. Sometimes, on occasions, you'll hear someone quote that and they'll say, we have a faithful high priest who's able to be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And they leave off that he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. You see, that's important because he wasn't sufficient to be our high priest if he had sin. He had to offer an atonement for himself first, and then for the sins of the people, but not Jesus Christ. Because he was perfect. He was pure. Chapter 5 and verse 10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. What does that mean, after the order of Melchizedek? Well, you can search scriptures and you'll not find where Melchizedek, now because he was a man, we know he did, but scriptures does not record for us a beginning and an end for Melchizedek. What's that say of Jesus Christ? An order after the order of Melchizedek. He's our high priest without beginning, without end. Why? Because he's eternal in the heavens. He's everlasting. He had no beginning, had no end. You see, chapter 6, verse 20. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 7. Got to read verse 25 with verse 26. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. See that? He ever liveth. What's that ever liveth mean? He always has been. Always has been. No beginning, no end. For such an high priest became us, who is holy. What's that mean? Are you holy? Only as I'm in Christ Jesus am I holy. He was holy. Harmless. Undefiled. Separate from sinners. He became us. And yet he was still all those things. And made higher than the heavens. He was higher than the heavens. You see, chapter 8, verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Wow. And as it pertains to our studies from the book of Ezekiel and in the Old Testament, what we've looked at in the book of Exodus, turn with me to chapter 9 and consider this. In verses 13 and 14, it said, for if the blood of bulls and of goats, that's what we read in Leviticus, the 16th chapter. The making of atonement on the Day of Atonement. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, Jesus Christ is so much better than those types and those pictures in the Old Testament. Yes, they portrayed of Him. Yes, the high priest pointed to Him. Yes, this man in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 9 and verse 2, he represents the high priest in the Old Testament, but he points to Jesus Christ, the high priest, and the fact that He was clothed in linen and had the writer's inkhorn to mark those for salvation. Jesus Christ is the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 17. And I always want to quote this verse wrong, so I got to turn there. It said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word. Pointing to Jesus Christ. Thy Word is truth. Jesus Christ is the Word, and He is truth. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 testifies of the Word. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You see, He's God. We could go on. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13. What does He have written on Him? Word faithful and true. 19 and verse 13 says, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. The written Word as well. The spoken Word as well. The written Word as well. This book that we have of the Word is the Word. And all the way through it, we see Christ. That's what I really like about our Sunday school material and constantly showing us how these things point to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times in the book, our studies of the book of Ezekiel, just through 8 chapters and now 2 verses in the 9th chapter, we've seen things testifying of Jesus Christ, the Word. Well, we need to stop there tonight. So what's this man clothed in linen with the writer's inkhorn? What's he picture? Who's he picture? Well, the high priest. But ultimately, our great high priest, the Lord